Years later, after the Petivra of Chaim Volozhin, there was a lot of talk regarding writing a little bit about the life's work of Reb Chaim Volozhin and what he stood for, in order that these facts remain available for many, many years to come. There was a Yid by the name of Reb Yudel Epstein. Reb Yudel Epstein was a Talmud of a Talmud of Reb Chaim. In other words, one of the famous Talmidim of Reb Chaim Volozhin was a Yid, a Goyin by the name of Reb David Tevel, who was the Baal Nachlas David. Nachlas David is a very well-known sefer learned in Olam HaYeshivis, Masechtes Bava Metzi, in particular, there's also on Masechtes Bava Kamet. And in a number of areas, the Nachlas David brings a unique peirushim from that he heard personally from Reb Chaim Volozhin, which is not available any place else. But these were personal chidushim that he himself, as a Talmud of Reb Chaim, that he heard from him. So this Reb Yudel Epstein was a Talmud of the Nachlas David, and the Nachlas David was the Talmud of Reb Chaim. So he writes, Reb Yudel Epstein writes, that Hine Levayer Gdulas Rabbeinu Shebegoylo. He says, in order to do justice, to write about the godless of Rabbeinu Shebegoylo Hagoyin Moran Reb Chaim Zalme Volozhin, to write about Hadar Goinoi, he says, the glory of his goinus, charifusoi ubikiyusoi, his charifus, and his bikiyus, tzidkosoi vechasidusoi, visichos of hatoiris, and his pure shmuzen, asheshoma ozni, that I heard, mipi meiri hagoin Reb David Tevel. I, Reb Yudel, heard this from my Rebbe, Reb David Tevel. Says Reb Yudel, he says, ein bekoichi keis leizeknosi. He says, now that I am already old age, Memele, he says, I at this age am not able to do justice to write properly about the godless of Reb Chaim Volozhin, he says. He says, ki eye nitzrach lechaber sefer sholom, I would have to write an entire sefer, asha omnom royu hoyu ma'oid, which would be very important, she yishar achrai arichas yomenu, many years after we're gone, that there achrai maisei tokfo shel Rabbeinu. He says, however, he says, I cannot do it, he says, because it's not stam a sefer. To write truly, to bring out the godless of Chaim Volozhin, he says, I at my age am not able to do it, because it really needs a whole sefer to really to be able to bring out the godless of Chaim Volozhin. Interesting thing is that many years ago, a sefer from the Goyin called Ruach Eliyahu was published. And they took a haskome from Reb Aaron Kotler. They took us coming from Baron Kotler regarding the Sefer Ruach Eliyahu and the Goyin. And Reb Chaim and Reb Baron, in that Haskoma, takes the opportunity not only to talk about the great thing writing the Chidushim of the Goyin. I mean, the Goyin, after all, he was the Rabban Shokol B'nei Agoyla, the leader of world Jewry. But Reb Baron at the same time says, I'm extra happy about the Sefer, because being this is a Sefer about the Goyin, from the Goyin, they also added a lot of things about Reb Chaim Volozhin, which is very important to have this really being printed. So Reb Aaron in his Haskoma, which is really a sefer on the Goyim mainly, but he reiterates and basically underscores and he emphasizes that he's extra special feels the importance of this published sefer, because it also brings out not only about the Goyim, but also the great Talmidim of the Goyim, and namely, it was Reb Chaim and Reb Chaim's brother, which was Zalman of Volozhin. And the Loshon of Reb Aaron, let me quote you, the Loshon, how Reb Aaron Kotler writes, and he says, Matoiv, he says, how good it is, Shitzirif Kame Protim Muvurorim, that they added many details, Maham Hagoso, he says, Hagodosho, first of all, about the Hanogis of the Goyim, so it's not only Chedushim of the Goyim, but also the Goyim's Minhogim. And also Umehan Hogis Talmidov Hagdoilim, Goine Hadoiris. And also that you add in the Sefer, the Anhogis of the great Talmidim of the Goyim, Goine Hadoiris, Shemeyem Onoshoisim, we are drinking from their waters. Ubi Yichud, especially, says Reb Aaron, Hagoin Huemiti, he says, Rabon Chokol Bene Agoila, Reb Chaim Zeche Tzadik Vikodesh Lavrocha, and the Ochiv and the brother of Reb Chaim, Goin Hagoinim Hachosid Huemiti, Moreno Reb Zalman Zecher Tzadik VeKodesh Lavrocha, Hadoimim LeMalachei Moroim. Reb Aaron writes, Radoimim, he says, the heavenly angels, Shedarkom v'hiluchem b'kodesh, because their way of life, lemalo roish, he says, was way up high. Be'ikvois rabam ha'godol, they followed the footsteps of the great Rebbe, and that is the Goyen of Vilna, and so on and so forth. And Rabban goes on and on. But just to have a little idea about, again, how the relationship about the roishim that Rabbi Chaim Volozhin left to many, many generations. Certainly we see the Gedolei Yisrael of the later generations, how they understood to appreciate, of course, the godless of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin. Notwithstanding, of course, the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim and Ruach Chaim that, of course, that Rabbi Chaim authored. This interesting thing is, one of the features about Rabbi Chaim Volozhin was that he was considered to be the main authority on Paskin Shilas of Aguna. It was a question regarding a woman's husband who disappeared, and this woman needed a heter to be allowed to get married, based upon whether halacha recognizes that there's enough halachic proof that the husband is not alive, because that's the criteria. That halacha recognizes there could be a lot of circumstantial evidence, but yet maybe in the eyes of halacha it's not enough. Therefore it's needed a great expertise in these areas. Someone who's a great mumche has to be someone who's very great, to be able to take upon himself to be matir al aguna. And whenever Shilas of Aguna came out, before the heter was actually stamped or sealed, it was first shown the various Gedolei Yisrael Rabbonim who wrote tshuvas regarding the heter of an aguna, a particular aguna. The tshuva was first sent to Rabbi Chaim Volozhin that he should look at it and give his askoma. So, interesting thing that, especially by the way, in the area around Vilna, it was an established rule like that. In other areas, it was just done that way, but in the areas around Vilna, it was like an established rule that you could not, on your own, give out a heter concerning aguna unless it was first shown and received the approval of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin. So they say something very interesting is that a particular situation, many, many times that Rabbanim would write various heterim, comes to the eyes of Rabbi Chaim, he was mavatl, it said, not shtipnish, the heter is not acceptable. And so on, many, many times like that. And it's a certain situation, they say, that a particular Rav, Grade in Odom Godel, happened to be in Odom Godel, wrote a tshuva to be matir in aguna, and Rabbi Chaim looked at it, and he said, I'm not convinced that this is a good enough heter. Anyway, later on, he says, sure enough, the husband of the woman shows up and he's alive. Shows up the Mafreya retroactively that Rabbi Chaim was right. Rabbi Chaim said as follows, he says, the Rav who wrote the tshuva was a great goyin. And in his tshuva, he advanced a lot of pilpulim. Now comes a hedyet, who is the husband, who has mavatl the whole pilpul, he says. This person's not a Tam Chochem. Comes a guy, simple person, and he's mavatl the whole tshuva, all the pilpulim that this Rav wrote. So sometimes it doesn't have to be a second going to be mavatl, pilpulim. It could be sometimes a hedyet as well, as was the case. So I want to mention one of the very interesting things that was said about Rav Chaim, and I have to mention it, that this Maisa Nifla was told by Rav Reuven Benges himself. Reuven Benges was a Talmud of Volozhin, of the Nsiv, not Rav Chaim Volozhin, but he was a Volozhin, a Talmud. He was one of the Goyna Hador, Gedoyla Hador, tremendous, tremendous Ilui. And of course, he lived in Yerushalayim, and he was the Av Bezin of the Edach Redis in Yerushalayim, as we know. Rav Benges said he had this mice, he says he was Mekabel Ish Mipish, you know, from one of, all the way back, in other words, wasn't a broken chain. This mice was told over, all the way back to the time of Rav Chaim Volozhin. It was a very interesting thing that Rav Chaim had a minug. And by the way, Rav Sholem Shadron used to repeat it many times, Rav Sholem. It's printed in one of the Sfarim, Shalovicho V'Yageitcho, in one of the Chalokim there. So Rav Chaim had a minhag, self-imposed minhag, that he would not make a bracha over anything unless there was somebody next to him to be able to answer Amen. In other words, if he needed to eat, or whatever the situation was, and there was nobody to answer Amen, he wouldn't make the bracha, and he would refrain. He wouldn't eat. And this is based upon the Zohar HaKodesh. The Zohar HaKodesh says, if you make a bracha and there's no one there to answer Amen, it's like a letter that has not been opened. Okay. It's not a chiyuv, but this is something that Reb Chaim felt this is what he wanted to do, and he committed himself to that. Turns out that one particular evening, very late at night, way past midnight, Reb Chaim was up, and Reb Chaim was very, very thirsty, and he felt he needed to drink, but so late at night, everybody's asleep. There's nobody around to be able to be next to him when he makes the bracha, in order to be able to answer Amen. So Rav Chaim does what he does. He's committed to his minhag, and he does not drink, and he tolerates the thirst, and he suffers the thirst, if you will. It turns out that after a little while, he hears a knock on the door. He opens the door, and comes in one of the bachurim of the yeshiva. One of the Bachurim Yeshiva happened to come in late at night, which is unusual Bechlal at this time of night for anyone to be up. And this Bachur Bechlal did not have a custom to be up late at night. And sure enough, at this particular time, at this particular Bachur knocks on the door and comes in. And he comes and says, because he wants to talk and learning. So Chaim says, very well. This is, I need you. I use you. Can use you. And Chaim makes a shakel and he drinks. Then he makes a boy in the foshes. The person answers Amen. They speak and learning. And then say goodbye, bid them good night. Chaim had a tremendous simcha. He said they did not, of course, need to break his minhag. And he was able to make a bracha answering Amen. And of course, he gave the bracha a great thank you, a great yashar koyach. He says, but you made it possible for me to make a bracha and have someone answer Amen. The next morning, Rav Chaim comes into the yeshiva, he goes over to the bacher and he thanks them again. I want to thank you again, he says. I want to thank you again, he says, for giving me the opportunity to make a bracha. Made yourself available that I should be able to make a bracha and you answer Amen. And the bacher says, what do you mean? I never was there. I never came last night. Rav Chaim says, what do you mean? Bichlal, he did not know anything about the entire maise, and the way it was interpreted, very simple. That being that Reb Chaim, the tzaddik that he was committed, they will not make a bracha unless someone is there. A shliach was sent min hashomayim, who looked like this particular bracha, that Reb Chaim Bichlal should not have any kashas, who had the appearance of that particular bracha, was sent min hashomayim, and then he left. It was not that bracha at all. But commentary used to say, the fact, whether it was Eliyahu HaNavi, whoever it was, that he decided, the plan was that he should disguise himself like that bacher must have been a Baal Madrega also. To choose his surah, Dafke, to be the one to take on his appearance, that bacher, he also must have been somebody who's an Odom Choshe. But this was a maise that Reuven Bengis, he said he had it, Mekubal Ish Mipish. The bacher, the actual bacher, said he never was there, and Chaim's imagination, it could not have been, he never was there. Chaim knew, of course, that this bacher looking like him was there. So there had to be somebody else, he said, that was sent min hashamayim, who looked just like this bracha exactly, which is one of the bracha in the yeshiva. So this is, again, Rav Chaim Volozhin. So we begin, Rabbi Yisai, we are up to here in Perek Yutes. Again, this is Perek Yutes, and one more Perek, Metshim, next week, Perek Chof, which still deal with the deep Kabbalistic inyonim. And again, we're not skipping the entire thing, as many, many shiurim people do, but we take out just some of it, or maybe even most of it. So it's going to be actually this week and again next week. Next week is Perek Chof. And Perek Chof Aleph, so to speak, goes back to the like normal topics and normal subjects of learning. So we go continue here in Perek Yutes. And we take a look at Perek Yutes as Reb Chaim begins over here. He says, Vizehu Inyan HaKosuf. Reb Chaim here again is going to reiterate and extend further the concept that every person's soul is endowed of three chalokim. As again, Reb Chaim mentioned many, many times, is the nefesh, ruach, and the neshama. So again, the nefesh is the lower part, is the lowest madrega, that's the base, the lowest, that's the animalistic part, which is the life force that even the animals have it, chayis, and all types of creatures have that. Then comes the next level, which is ruach, which is only man has that, which is the higher level, and that usually is against speech, ruach is keneged dibur. And then we have the highest level, which is neshama. So it is nefesh and it is ruach and neshama. What Reb Chaim mentioned in the previous perek, what the Kadosh Baruch Hu made is that these three, there should be a link like a chain. The nefesh should be connected with ruach. The way he pointed it out is because assuming that they are one on top of the other, nefesh on the bottom, so the peak of nefesh, the top of nefesh is right under the bottom of ruach. And the peak of ruach, the top of ruach is right under the bottom, as it were, of neshama. Nefesh, ruach, and neshama. And B'chaim goes on to point out here that v'zehu inyan akosif, that this concept that we just mentioned is reflected, he says, in the following posik. The posik says, in Mishle, ruach ish yechalkel, he says, mechalosoy, mechaleu. Actually, we'll say first the literal translation. The translation is that the ruach of a person will sustain him in his sickness, in his machla. The ruach of a person, yechalkel, will sustain a person in his machla. When a person is sick, it's the ruach of the person that will sustain him. And then says the posuk further, the ruach necheyo mi yisoeno. But who, me, meaning me, but who can support a broken spirit? In other words, a broken ruach. Ruach necheyo, if you have a broken ruach, who can sustain it? In other words, who is able to support a broken ruach? So B'chaim wants to explain what is the meaning of this posik. Again, the posik says that the ruach of a person will sustain him in his sickness. But if you have a broken ruach, he says, who will able to sustain it? Who will able to support it? So B'chaim goes on to say, what the posik means is, when it's talking about someone who is sick with an illness, rotze loimer, what kind of illness are we talking about? We're talking about spiritual illness, says Reb Chaim. The posik in Mishlei is talking about rotze loimer, hamachlo, he says, v'chelas ho'ovoin shel bechinas ha'nefesh. Reb Chaim says, when the nefesh element, which is the lower element, when the lower element basically becomes sick, so to speak, it's afflicted by a person's sins, and he wants to do tshuva, you know how he can be healed? By the way, Reb Chaim says most averus are through the nefesh element, which is the lowest element of the person. So the nefesh element, when a person sins, becomes afflicted. How does it become healed? When he wants to do tshuva, it becomes healed because it's connected to the ruach. So it's the ruach that supports and lifts up the nefesh that has been drained and has been so blemished through sin. That's what the posik means. Ruach ish. It's the ruach element of a person that will sustain him during his illness. It means when his nefesh became afflicted. That's the illness. His nefesh became afflicted through averus. As he says here in the bracket, shistam roivu avoinois mitsuyois, most of a person's sins, says Reb Chaim, most of the time, is bebchines hanefesh, because he atachtoina hakroiva lesitra achra. Because it's the bechin of nefesh, which is the lowest part, that's the lowest part that becomes tempted to sin. It's closer to the Sifra Achra, it's closer to than of all the elements. This is the closest to the Sitra Achra, which is to the evil forces. And he quotes the Posek in Mishle. Posek in Mishle says, Ragleho yerdois modis, her feet lead to death. Yerdois, which means one sins with Yeride, with the lower element. Nefesh is the lower element. And also another Posek. Ukumashikosa, the Posek says in Vayikra, V'nefesh kisechto. The Torah emphasizes that a person's chayta through which element of the three? Through the nefesh element. And then there's another posik. V'hachatoyim ho'ele b'nafshoysom. So again, those who have sinned, b'nafshoysom with their element of nefesh, which is in Bamidbar. V'har b'kiyoytze. And many examples, where in most cases, a person sins through the element of nefesh. The element of nefesh therefore becomes afflicted. And he goes on to point out, Ein Etzchaim Shar Huakudim, he gives you references, Upri Etzchaim Shar Kriyash Mashalamit, and so on. So now, when a person's nefesh becomes ill because of sin, it's still possible that it can be healed, the Gam Lalois, and it still can be elevated, Al Yedei Bechines HaRuach Kenizker Leyel, through the Bechina of Ruach, by the Ruach element. So the nefesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it such that nefesh should be connected to ruach, that through thereby being connected to ruach, the ruach portion, he sinned with the chelik ha-nefesh. So the nefesh can be healed when he wanted to tshuva by being connected to the ruach portion, which still remains b'kedusha. What happens if a person sinned and he afflicted and he tarnished his ruach portion? In other words, speech is connected ruach. So let's say his chatoim, his averus were through various elements of speech, loshon hara, rechilis, maybe dvaram betalim, schoik, vekalus roish, all of these inyonim. So how does the chelik ruach, how does it find its tikkun? Well, chelik ruach now again is connected to the neshama portion. It's underneath the peak of ruach. So Reb Chaim goes on further to say, that vim ha ruach necheo, and if a person's ruach element is necheo, it's afflicted, it means it's marred by sin, by avera. If the ruach is necheo, if the ruach is marred, shepogam v'kilkol b'chines ruchoi, that he basically tarnished, and he blemished the b'china of ruach, the element of ruach, al yidei avoinois, hatluyim b'chines ruach, through doing averas which are connected to ruach, as we said, most cases deals with inyonim of speech. So then the pasuk says, Oz mi yisuena. Instead of me meaning who, as a question, that's simple translation, me. Who is going to support it? Me also, by the way, is a name. What is it, a name? In the Zohar HaKadosh, in Kabbalistic sources, the neshama is referred to as me. And I'll tell you a reason soon. The neshama portion is called me. So b'chaim l'pshat, me is not a question, me, who. But the Pasuk says, mi yisuena. It is the me that is going to be able to uplift and to heal. If ruach needs a tikkun, where does ruach get its tikkun from? Which element will help ruach? That's the neshama portion. The neshama portion is called me. Me, yisuena. It's not a question, it's a statement. Me. The chelik me, which refers to the neshama, yisuena will be able to uplift and to help heal the chelik ruach, that has been tarnished, because he sinned, we're talking about now, by the means of tarnishing and blemishing the chelik ruach. He did those averis that are totally, that are connected and that are linked with the element of ruach. Ozmi yisuena, Reb Chaim points out, the posik means, tikunoi hu, that the tikun will come, right? How will it be healed? It will be healed al yidei bechines ha-neshoma, shenikras mi. The neshoma is referred to, it is called mi, as we kiyadua bezoyar, as is known, Reb Chaim says in the Zohar. The Zohar is known that neshoma is called mi. The Gedal Yishor, one of the Mekoymis, also points out, he says the idea is the neshoma is called me, because the neshoma, which is the higher level of all three, and we know that the Kodesh Baruch Hu created Chamishim Shari Bino, the highest level of all levels of understanding, which goes higher and higher and higher. There are 50 levels. And Beder Klal, on this world, most people cannot reach the 50th level. The maximum you can is 49. And as it is pointed out, the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Chamishim Shari Bino, Kulon Nitnu L'Moshe Choser Echad. Even Moshe Rabbeinu had 49. And on the other hand, Al Pi Kabbalah, it's also mentioned that Rabbi Kiva happened to be in that Nekuda, happened to have the special privilege of being able to touch and to tap even onto the 50th Chelik, which is a different discussion, not for now. But Mi is Mem Yud, that's 50, right? Mem is 40 and Yud, Mi. That's called the Olam HaBino. That's called the world of Bino, which is the world of Tshuva. That's the highest world, the world of the 50th floor, the 50th stage. So Mi Yisrael, the Neshama, represents the 50th level of Bino, the 50th level of Bino, of Havon, of understanding. That's the highest level. So Mi is referring to Neshama. So brings up Gedal Yishori, says, on the Pesuk it says, Uchalavi Mi Yekumenu, by Bolok and Babylon. It says, Mi Yekumenu. It talks about a person who had a Yerida who slipped and he fell. But you can do Tshuva. Mi is the world of Tshuva. In any case, Mi Yekumenu. You're able to lift yourself up and to be able to find strength through the being connected as closely as possible to the Inyan, to the philosophy of Mi. So in any case, so in this paragraph as we have over here, so as Reb Chaim tells us, so this is again, this is the idea, the notion that we have these three elements, Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. But Lamai said that they are closely connected, that if one is chayte in the lower element of nefesh, nefesh will find a tikkun through tshuva to be able to be healed and to be able to be uplifted through the ruach element, which is above it. And if a person basically sinned with the ruach element, and the ruach element will be able to be supported and become uplifted, that is through the chelik haneshama. Nefesh is connected to ruach, and ruach is connected to neshama. So we have to go now, Rabbi Yisai. We have to skip this next area. This is clearly, clearly very deep Kabbalah. We go in your editions, go to Daf Samach Dalet. So just a little bit further. Go to Daf Samach Dalet in the regular editions of the Nefesh HaChaim, where it says, Vahu Inyan Mare Hasulam. Daf Samach Dalet. Okay, Vahu Inyan Mare Hasulam. So basically what Reb Chaim says, something very, very incredible over here, going on in this next paragraph. Reb Chaim now is referring to the dream of Yaakov Avinu, where he sees in his dream, he sees the ladder. And the Loshon of the Torah is, of course, that Vine, he sees that there is a Sulam Mutzav Arzo, that there is a ladder which is stationed on the ground, and Veroisha, in the top of the ladder, is Magi Hashemayimu, reaches the heavens. Now, what Reb Chaim is going to tell us, first of all, and that's something as introduction, and that is that we have already been told many times that man basically is a microcosm, is small-scale counterpart of the higher world. That's something that Reb Chaim advances many, many times that we had in Nefesh HaChaim. That man basically is a microcosm and he represents, like in a sort of like a small scale, the counterpart of the higher worlds. And Reb Chaim goes on now and says that this is borne out, and this is how Reb Chaim interprets the union of the latter. What is the message of the ladder that Yaakov Avinu sees in his dream? V'hine, says Reb Chaim, inyan mare hasulam mutzav arzo. It says mutzav arzo, which the literal translation, mutzav arzo, by the way, means, the notion that the ladder was standing on the ground, the literal translation means, mutzav arzo means standing toward the ground. That was something that we had many, many prokim before. Mutzav arzo. Arzo is like mutzav le'eretz, because a lamed in the beginning is substituted by a hey at the end. So says Rashi. Vayele choron, instead of le'choron, is chorono. So arzo is instead of le'eretz. Imagine sulav mutzav le'eretz. It should have really said, as Reb Chaim says, v'lo omar mutzav b'oretz. It doesn't say that the ladder is standing on the ground, although that would be the simple meaning. But the Pasuk advisedly uses the Loshon, Ela Arzo, Sheperusho, where the meaning of the Pasuk is, the literal translation of Mutzav Arzo means that it's standing towards the ground. Umashmoy, and the Pasuk is continuing to tell us, right? And the Pasuk continues to tell us, Sherosh Iker, Sherosha Bashamayim Imal. What does it mean that the ladder is focused towards the ground? If the ladder is focused towards the ground, it means is it's on a journey towards the ground. You know what it means? It means is that really, that the source of the ladder is in Shemayim. Because the normal understanding, the reading of this Pasuk means, the ladder is standing on the ground, but it reaches all the way up. So it means it starts from the ground. That's the normal understanding, right? That's the way everybody understands it. The ladder is, right, its feet are on the ground, and the top goes to Shemayim. Chaim says it's the other way around. The source of the ladder is in Shemayim. And continues to come down, 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 down towards the ground. So where's the shayrish of the ladder? The shayrish of the ladder is in Shemayim. It's coming downward, it's being lowered and lowered and lowered towards the ground. Not like the simple understanding is that the main source of the ladder is on the ground, extending all the way up, just the opposite. The ladder, the shayrish, that's what Rabbi Chaim says, that's what the intent of the Pasuk therefore means. Because if it's going towards the ground, so it's coming from someplace else. It's coming from uppermost high. And it's going towards the ground. Its journey is towards the ground. Ela arzo min sheperusho liyoritz. Right? Umashmoy sheroish iker shirosho b'shamayim. So the mashmoy therefore is that where is its main source? Its main source therefore is in Shemayim imal umisham. And it's from Shemayim. Humishtalshu. Right? It originates in Shemayim above and was lowered down to earth. As a prime b'sav. Mishtalshel. So it really originates from Shemayim above, and it's lowered down to the earth. So Reb Chaim tells us, if we're saying that the top of the ladder, that's really the source of the ladder. The top of the ladder, that's really its source. You know what it's referring to? It's referring to the neshama, to the neshama element of man, which is the uppermost high. Says Reb Chaim, Vehu ha-nishmas chayim. The top of the ladder, says Reb Chaim, symbolizes the neshama element of a person's soul. V'hu ha-nishmas chayim shel odom, because the neshama, which is the higher, it emanates from heaven, right? Shemisatzelis, it means it emanates. Where does the neshama emanate from? The neshama, which is the highest, it emanates kibiyochel, no less than the breath of HaKadosh Baruch himself. Many times Reb Chaim reiterated, neshama from loshen neshima, neshama from loshen breath. Who is breath? Not my breath. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's breath. So Neshama is actually HaKadosh Baruch Hu's breath. So that's the top of the ladder. The top of the ladder, which is the uppermost high, is referring to the Neshama of a person that comes directly from, it emanates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's breath. It emanates from the breath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth. Umisham, and from there, from up high, it's lowered. It's lowered down to earth. Umisham, Mishtalsheles kisulam, and from there it's lowered like a ladder or a chain, vishalsheles, either like a ladder or like a chain. Umiskasheres im haruach, and now it makes contact with the ruach element, because being, you have to realize neshama is higher, so naturally speaking, neshama and ruach would be far apart, because neshama is the breath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth, as it were. So therefore, being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that there should be a connection between all three, between Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. And Neshama is so high. So how's the connection made? Because Baruch Hu lowers the Neshama, lowers it, so it should be able to make contact with the Ruach element. That's what Reb Chaim is saying. That it's Mishom again, Mishtal Shelis. From there, from uppermost high, the Neshama is being lowered, Kisulam, like a ladder. Vishal Shelis, or like a chain. Umiskasheres in Maruach. And now it makes contact with the Ruach element. And the Ruach is also higher than the Nefesh, relatively speaking. Everyone is higher than the other. But the Ruach is also is being lowered, the Nefesh. It's lowered all the way. It is lowered until, with the Nefesh, until, as we say, which is seated inside man down here on earth. So this is the way it was constructed. And Reb Chaim goes on to point, so Reb Chaim tells us that the Sulam really is really the symbolism between what? Between the Neshama coming down, the Sulam starts up there, doesn't start down here. It's going towards the earth. It's going down, it's being lowered, the Neshama is being lowered to make contact with Ruach, and ruach will make contact with nefesh and actually be contained within the body of the person. That's ruach and nefesh. Neshama, remember, is not, after the chet of Adam, is not actually, it used to be, but then it's just above, it's hovering above the person. The person just gleans sparks of the neshama, Chaim said, after the chet of Adam Rishon. But this idea that sulam represents the neshama and so on, coming from uppermost high, Chaim says, it's a Zohar HaKodesh, he says. Don't think that I'm telling you some wild ideas, some wild theories. He says, v'chein b'furish b'raya mehemno, parches nosoi, on the posik v'yipach ba'apov nishmas chayim. Take a look over there. And he says, the Isamar Bey, it brings down that v'yachloim v'nei sulam. And the Zohar says, sulam vada ihi nishmas chayim, directly. Sulam, that's nishmas chayim. So this idea, what Reb Chaim is now presenting to us, finds a source in the Zohar HaKodesh. Sulam represents the Nishama. And where is the Shairi? The Shairi is not down here, because it's the Nishama. Now we understand. The Sulam comes Mutzav Arzo. It's going, being lowered towards the ground, because it emanates from uppermost high. And that is really the Nishama of a person, which comes directly out of the breath, from the mouth of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, is being lowered to make contact with Ruach. And Ruach then will make contact with Nefesh. Says Reb Chaim now, and the pasuk continues there in the dream. It talks about the malachim. Talks about the heavenly angels, oil and v'yordin boy, going up and going down. So Reb Chaim says that v'hine malachim lekim, oil and v'yordin, k'mon shekasavti liel b'yorech, as I already pointed out above. Reb Chaim spoke about it before in earlier prakim. He says malachim lekim, oil and v'yordin boy. Let me just say it again by heart. Whether angels go up or they go down, boy is dependent on man. As we pointed out, man actually controls his behavior, can make it or break it, and has extreme effect in the upper world, destroying them or building them. It all depends whether man does good or does the opposite. And man actually has the influence on the malachim, whether they are higher, on a higher madrega, whether they are on a lower madrega. It all depends is where the level of a person's nefesh, ruach and neshama is. Where is he at? And as he points out, Reb Chaim, just agav, as we pointed out, Reb Chaim said it last week, he said, even when a person sins, neshama is so far high up, his avera cannot blemish the neshama portion. At most, what it can do is to the nefesh, right? And even the ruach can be tarnished, but not neshama. But man, through his actions, by lowering and degrading and destroying even his nefesh, what he does is also he destroys, because man is the microcosm. Let's remember, man is the microcosm of the upper worlds. And therefore, what he does is sort of like we said many times, like a remote control. Whatever he does down here has tremendous, tremendous effects what's happening in Shomayim. Therefore, Chaim said, if we'd be able to see, so he said, if you have a screen, you'd be able to see what's happening up in Shomayim every time a person makes a move, for good or for bad, to see the positive and to see the negative as a result of his actions, the person really think twice before he actually makes his next move. But Chaim goes on to say, therefore, regarding the vision regarding the angels, right? We see the vision regarding the angels that are going up and that they are going down the ladder. You know what that signifies? It signifies that the madrega of the malachim at any given moment is determined by man's actions. Says Reb Chaim, Shekol aliyosam v'yiridosam. Whether the angels go up higher, whether they come down, means where they are lowered. Lowered means from their level, from the level of Kedusha. Up and down means higher in Kedusha or lower in Kedusha. That's what it means. What does it depend on? It depends on, as he said, for Sidre Hanagosam Kol Rega. He says, all their Sidre Hanagosam, I left out a few words before. Tolo Yurakifi Netias Maseho Vidiburo Umachshavto Beguf Odom Kol Rega. In other words, man's actions, his speech, and his thoughts, those elements determine the status and the madrega of the malachim. So again, tremendous, tremendous influence and far-reaching powers that man has. That Malach Elekim Oilim V'yardim Boy. It depends. If a man's level of nefesh is higher, the malachim are higher. If a man's level of nefesh is lower because he sins, so then the malachim are lower as well. Malach elekim oilam v'yardim, boy. Boy. Sulam means, as we said, referring to the neshama. It depends, where is your neshama at? Where the level of your nefesh, ruach, neshama? Where are you at? So according to man's actions, that has a direct effect on where the malachim will be. And so on and so forth. All right. So now if you take the next paragraph, let's take a look. The next paragraph, Umano Amu. He says, Umano Amu, says Reb Chaim now, something very wonderful. Reb Chaim brings a beautiful moshel, a beautiful parable. He says, Omri Razal, Rabbe Zeinu, Zechroinu Levroche, B'Yushalm, Metainis, Perek Beis, V'Shlokish, B'Shem, Rabbi Yechin, and Omar. There's a beautiful mashal which illustrates this idea. Reb Chaim points out, which Lachish says b'shem Reb Yochanan, Shitaf Hakadosh Baruch Hu Shemoi b'Yisrael. Hakadosh Baruch Hu basically attached his name to Klal Yisrael. Imagine such a thing. We have Zoyche. Hakadosh Baruch Hu attached his name to Klal Yisrael, and there's a tremendous reason for that. He says Moshul Amelech, and the Rishalmi gives us the following moshal. It's a moshal. You can imagine that if you have a king, Shehoilo Mafteach Shel Paltrin Kitano. In other words, a king was once, he was pondering about what to do with a key to his palace. A king has a key. And he was just thinking, he was pondering what to do with the key to his palace. Omar, and he reasons as follows. He says as follows. Imani manicho kamoi shehi harehu avuda. He says, if I leave the key lying around, it'll get lost. Happens many times. So what's the Yetzer? What's the Yetzer? What does the king say? He says, El hareini koveya bo shalshelis. But rather what I will do is, he says, I will attach a chain to the key. So now he says, she'im ovdo, that if the key is lost, tehei shalshelis monachas aleo. In other words, I'll pull the chain to retrieve it. It's a marshal. So the idea is, you attach the key to a chain. So if for some reason you can't find the key, you pull the chain. Pull the chain, you can retrieve the key. Says the Medrash, actually the Yerushalmi, that the same thing is, kach omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know who the key is? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech in the Moshul. And the king is pondering what to do with the key. You know who the key is? Man is the key. You know why? Because you open and close worlds. You are a key. Man is the key to the upper worlds. Man has the power to open and close the worlds. His maisim, his actions, his machshava, his dibur. Man is the key in the Moshul. Man is the key. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech in the Moshul. And man is the key. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if I allow the key to be lying around, in other words, if man would just be left all to himself, he just might get lost. Like in the Moshul, the key gets lost. And you can get lost in a way that he may never find himself back. Meaning he gets lost. He lives in a world. He can become assimilated. And there's a great danger. They will not be able to find himself back. The key is lost. So what was the idea? So what's the Eitzah? So the Eitzah is to attach the key to a chain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu attaches his name to man, to the Jewish people, which means that no Jew will ever be lost forever. If he really wants to find himself back, he'll be able to. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu attaches himself. It's like the key connected to the chain. You pull the chain, and in the mail you retrieve the key. This is a tremendous moshel. How the Rishalmi puts this together. And look how Reb Chaim says it here. Kach omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in fact, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im ani maniach es Yisrael kemoi shehen. If I leave the Yidden be to where they are, right? If I give them free rein, if I merely give them free rein, he says, Hein nevloim bumas oilom. They'll be swallowed up by the nations of the world. So in order to prevent that from happening, to prevent them being swallowed up, El hareini mishatef ishmi hagodol behem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what I will do is, I will attach my great name to them. So Reb Chaim goes on to say, the truth is, if you think about this moshel, so to vehem zal dibru, if you take the moshel, translated literally, it talks about the nation at large. Right? It talks about Klal Yisrael being lost. Vehem zal dibru le'in yeklal ha'uma yechido. They speak about, the parable speaks about the Jewish nation as a whole. But Reb Chaim said, but the same moshel applies to the individual. The exact same moshel. Although literally translated, as we see it in Yerushalmi, it talks about the Jewish nation at all being lost, if not for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu attached his name to them. But the same thing applies to the individual also. It applies to the individual. He says, Omnam einayim zechoin levrocha mitayfim kedarkam bekoidish. What's implicit in their words, which is added in their words, he says, v'romzu gam al odom yechidi. The exact same moshel applies to the individual person. It applies, and Chazal had in mind the soul of the individual. He said, and as he says, v'zichosom zechroinam levrocha tzricha talmud. We know what Chazal says, something, even sichas chulon of a talmud chochom has to be learned. There's a lot of learning to be found in their words. It has to be studied. And Reb Chaim says, shehim shilu. Because if you realize, this is very exact, says Reb Chaim. That's what it says. The words have to be studied. If the moshel makes man is the key, so how does man fit? How does man fit like a key? It means, says Rabbi Chaim, because man, in fact, is like a key because he opens and closes worlds. That's what Rabbi Chaim says. That's what we have to... That's how to interpret and understand Chazal. The meaning and the words of Chazal need to be studied, he says. Srich and Talmud. Not to be used just haphazardly. They just use some sort of emotional, some wild emotional. It's very exacting. Man is a key. As he points out, Shehim Shiloha Inyan Lamafteyah Vishal Shelis. It's very exacting, he says, that we find that they have compared. They have compared man to, right, the whole Inyan. They compared it to a key and to a chain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu with man is a relationship like a key with a chain. K'moshe K'stavti Eliel. How so? How is a man a key? Says Reb Chaim, look at the words. Shoha Odom Hu HaPoiseach V'HaSoiger Shel HaKoichos V'HaOilemes Paltrin Shel Malo U'Paltrin Shel Mato. In other words, man opens and closes the doors to the higher and lower palaces. The lower palaces, this world. The higher palaces, the upper world. Man has dominion over all of that. The lower worlds, the upper worlds. Lower palaces, higher palaces. Man is a key. He opens and closes them. How does he open and close it? Says Reb Chaim again. Very simple. You know how? Because they are all governed by his actions. It all comes out through his actions that he performs with the nefesh element of his soul. As Reb Chaim points out, because shehu ikra v'sherosho de bechinas nefesh kol almin, man's soul is the soul of the upper worlds. So whatever you do to your soul, you're in effect affecting the soul of the upper worlds, because it's your soul is rooted there. They're all rooted. They're connected. The nefesh, the soul of the upper world, is connected with your nefesh. And therefore you are connected to the shayrish. Yeshu ikra v'sharosho, he said, the bechinas nefesh kol almin. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make sure that man should not be banished forever. So va'odoin kol Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his goodness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his abundant mercy, he says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tuvoi ha'godol le'heitiv le'bruov, being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his abundant mercy and intense concern for man's well-being, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Shokad al tekonosenu. He was concerned that we should be able to be healed whenever we need healing. Ve'yomar HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, and now comes the second part of the moshel, like in the key. If I leave the key lying around somewhere without a chain, without, it'll get lost. So what was the etzah? The advice was to connect it. The idea was to connect with the chain. So here too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, ani manicha kamoy shehi. If I leave it the way it is. Oh, and by the way, when we're talking about the chain, there's another nekudah. The chain is that nefesh and ruach neshama should be connected, like chain-like. That's another inyan. That's another aspect of the chain. Because we said that nefesh finds a healing and an uplifting by the fact that it's connected to ruach. And ruach is connected to neshama. So now we have the all three elements connected together. So now one will never be lost totally because there's contact with the upper force and therefore can find its way back. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but if I would leave them all separate, but if I would have left them, right? If I would have left it, he said, and allow man's nefesh to go at will, so then he says, the connection between nefesh, ruach, and neshama will be lost. What would happen is, you know what would happen? That nefesh would descend to the lowest rung of the ladder. Because then if a man would sin, and he would descend to the lowest depth of depravity, and ruach will not be there to elevate it and to raise it, nefesh may never find its way back. Ein sheni lahakimoy. You wouldn't have the second element to be able to raise it up. The nefesh, once it's lost, could have been lost forever. We find such a loss in the pasuk. Regarding nefesh being lost, there's a pasuk in Vayikra that says, "Vahavadati is a nefesh ahi." The pasuk there clearly says that I will destroy the nefesh from among its people. Says the pasuk. "Vahanechash achitas." Therefore, a nefesh that was sinned, b'metes chaper. How would it ever find atonement? So what happened? So therefore, lezois. That being so, in other words, how should he be able to find his way back? HaKadosh Baruch Hu devised a process. HaKadosh Baruch Hu devised. Not stam a process. He devises a wondrous process. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why he says, Hifli Yetzah. Hifli, Peladik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu devises Hifli Yetzah. Rachel devises a wondrous process, Yisbarach Shemoi, V'kova ha-gimel madreges nefesh ruach neshama. What he did is he devised that the three elements, nefesh, ruach, and neshama, that it should connect with each other. Shkol echad mem tiskasher, v'chinas ha-reshoyne shaloh, well, yoynas, we said, the peak of the lower, will make contact with the bottom of the higher. Right? As he said, the bechina ha-reshoyne shaloh, well, yoynas, which means the upper, bebechina ha-tachtoyne shaloh madrege shaloh, reaches the lower of the next madrege. As he says, ki'in ha-shal shelis, similar to a chain. That's how it goes. It means that if you have a chain, the way you find is that the top, if you have a chain made up of many, many rings, so the way, if you have a chain hanging down, what happens is that the top of the lower is fastened to the bottom of the one above. That's the way a chain works. That the top of the lower is fastened to the bottom of the one above. That's how Kodesh Baruch constructed it. Nefesh is connected, right, to the Ruach that's higher. And Ruach, the top of Ruach is connected to Neshama, to the bottom of Neshama, which is higher. That's the way it works. As he says, if you take a look, I shall shell, shekol tabas mimeno, every ring in a chain, he says, kitzas, or kitzei, or elyon shelo, he says, the upper part, the top of the ring, nechezes, is connected, v'nechneses, and goes in to the lower part of the up of the next ring, above it. Toich kitzei atachtoin, right? It goes into the lower portion of the higher ring. Shel tabas sheoleo. Vayidei kein. So now that way the Kodesh Baruch Hu made a chain between and a connection between nefesh, ruach, and neshama. Vayidei kein gamim yikoreis hanefesh v'tipoil le'imkei koiches hatmeyo chaz v'sholem. So now even if a nefesh falls prey to the forces of evil, yochoyle hile hisokein v'la'alois, the nefesh can be extricated, how? By Ruach. Ruach, which is above it, will be able to be misakin it and to bring it up. By being connected to the higher force, which is above it, which is above nefesh. He says, V'chein al derech zen, the same thing is, B'kilkul b'kama Ruach. The same thing if Ruach is tarnished, Ruach will find the tikkun by being connected to the upper link, right, to the chain, which is the neshama. V'zeu sh'om ha'shom. And that's really, and by the way, when it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is attached, it means the chain of these three, because this feature of having this construction of Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, interesting thing, according to Kabbalah, Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama gets its strength from the four letters of the Shem Havaya, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. Okay, this is a Kabbalistic formula. So that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I attach my name to them. I attach my four letters of Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, thereby, this is the glue of Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama being connected. That's what Kodesh Baruch Hu means, that I will be Meshativ my name. Reb Chaim says, V'zehu she'omar. Therefore it says there, the Rishalmi, El ha'reini Meshativ ishmi ha'godol behem. What does it mean I'm attaching my name? He says, Shahagimel dargin, because the three elements, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, right? The Shoyrish ha'neshama, and the Shoyrish, and even the root of the Neshama, way high up, Mekoyer Shiroshom, where do they all come from? All three elements, where they come from? Mahadalid Oisius Hashem Hagodol Yisborach Shemoi. It comes from the four Oisius, from the four letters of Hashem's name, which means that the Shoyrish Neshama V'id, the Shoyrish Neshama V'id, Nefesh, Ruach Neshama, all of it, where does it all get its strength from? Where does it get its power from, its force from? It all comes from the four letters of the Shem Havaya, and these three elements thereby can be connected. These three elements can be connected because they gain their power from the four oisias of the Shem Havaya. So interesting just to mention that the Goyin, that the Vilna Goyin, he writes, brings down in Tikkun HaZoyer, he says, one of the greatest, he says, benefits that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from all the toivos, from all the good things that Hashem does and continues to do, and did, he says, for Klal Yisrael, the best and the greatest thing what Hashem did with Klal Yisrael is that he attached his name, thereby bringing together Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. So now the life of a Yid is eternal. Never has to be banished forever. Because the Nefesh will be able to find its way back by Ruach. And Ruach, if it's tarnished, finds its way back through being connected to Neshama. This guarantees, he says, the Nitzchias and the eternity of Am Yisrael. So the point is that a Yid never has to be lost forever. He has a desire to come back. If he really has a desire, he will have within himself the true energies and decided Ishmael to be able to find himself back through the element of tshuva. So let's take a look, Rabbi, now at the sheet. We'll see some fascinating few minutes that we have left. Again, time always moves on quickly. So let's take a look here, first of all. What we're going to do is number two of the sheet. The number two of the sheet. And we're going to do a small piece of Rav Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin. This Rav Tzadik, Rabbi Sai, is in Parshas Vayechi. It's actually the end of Parshas Vayechi. Rav Tzadik wants to give his own explanation to the fact that the question that Rashi himself asks, Parshas Vayechi, you know, in the Sefer Torah, of course it follows Vayigash Vayechi. And it's a Parshas Stuma. Parshas Stuma means that there is no spacing, there's no paragraph space between the two sedras, but rather it just continues on as if it's one Parsha. And the question already had been asked, why is Parshas Vayechi a Parshas Stuma? It means a closed. It's a closed sedra. In the Sefer Torah, there is no space between the end of Vayigash to the beginning of Vayechi. Every sedra has proper spacing. You could never tell this is a new sedra, Vayechi. So Tzadik says many reasons were given. And he says they're all true, but I would like to give you my own. Let's take a look at the Tzadik here. And you see how it relates to what we're talking about. Parshas Ustuma. Parshas Vayechi is a closed parsha. Rabbi Tzain was a chronim levrocha, nosnu tamim. This is in pre-Tzadik, Rav Tzadik discussed it. And our Rebbes, means Chazal, have given reason if the Ma Parshas Ustuma, why is this parsha closed? V'kulam devrayemes. Rav Tzadik says, I'm not trying to argue with any of them. They're all true. V'yeshloim gam kein tam listimosa. I would like to offer another reason. Why is Parshas Vayechi Parshas Ustuma? He says, ki be'emes ho'inyan hazeh. Because what becomes evident, which is against all logic, Yaakov Avinu, reaches his highest level of Kedusha, you know where he reaches it? In Mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu passes away in Mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu, when he passed away, was on the highest level. Yaakov Avinu is the Bechir Shebovis. He considered the choice of all the three of us, between Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Yaakov Avinu reaches his Shleimus, reaches his highest level. Where does he build Klal Yisrael? Everything. Shivim Nefesh, Yorav, it all comes, Vayifru, Vayifru, everything starts in Mitzrayim. Wouldn't logic tell you that Yaakov Avinu should reach his highest level in Eretz Yisrael? How is it that Yaakov Avinu reaches his highest level in Kedusha Mitzrayim, not only Mitzrayim being outside of Eretz Yisrael, it being a place that's filled with Tumah, is the antithesis of Kedusha Mitzrayim. So not only it's Chutz La'aretz, it's Mitzrayim. So Rav Tzadik says, Ki be'emes ho'inyan hazeh, this inyan sheyushlam Yaakov b'kedushosoy, that Yaakov Avinu should be mashlam, his Kedusha should complete himself. In addition, also the fact that which area prepares Klal Yisrael to receive the Torah, right? We're on the road to Shavuos now, very soon. Where did it take place? The preparation preparing Klal Yisrael for Torah also did not take place in Eretz Yisrael. It's from Mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu reaches his highest Kedusha level in Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael becomes prepared for Kabbalah Satoira. Where? In Mitzrayim. This is the completion of everything. Tzadik says, this is something we cannot understand. This is a Parsha Stuma. That's what Tzadik says. It's a Parsha Stuma. It's a closed Parsha. Means, how are we to understand with our own logic, Yaakov Avinu of all places reaches his highest level of Kedusha, not in Eretz Yisrael, in Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael prepares itself, right? Becomes worthy and ready for Kabbalah Satoira, not in Eretz Yisrael, in Mitzrayim. This is a Parsha Stuma. And Rav Tzadik goes on to say, and Rav Tzadik shows that Stuma, wherever something is Stuma, it's closed, it means you can't understand it. What's the proof? What's the proof? Is something structured, closed, without spacing? Because there's another Gemara, it's a Chazal, the Omru, Chazal told us, and it's a Rashi in Vayikra, Ma hoyo hafsokis mishamshois. What is the purpose when you have spacing? The purpose of spacing is to be able to stop and to ponder, to think, to understand. Ma hoy hafsokis mishamshois litn revach lemoishel his bainin biparsha leparsha. So you see, hafsokis represent understanding. If hafsokis represent understanding, so what does tumas represent? Not understanding. The opposite of understanding. Uma'asher ohinyin hazeh omuk moed, being that this inyan that we just have presented, Yaakov Avinu reaching his highest level in Mitzrayim, Bnei Yisrael being ready for Kabbalah Satoira Mitzrayim, being she'ein b'seichel odom lehizbainin, lezois histuma. So now, here comes the punchline. So we don't understand how that takes place, but it's a reality. What do we learn from that? We learn from that for our daily lives to apply it, in our own human condition, says the Tzaddik. In our own human condition, we ask ourselves, we are now in Golus. We are not, Klal Yisrael has been scattered all over the world. And we are in Golus, we say to ourselves, due to the matzav of Golus, we are not on the Madrege that you would expect. That Dafke, our generation of all generations, are we going to be worthy of Gula? There were generations before us, Ge'oinim, Gedoilim, Tzadikim. We are in the area, in the Zman, that's what they can say in his time. Imagine today. So you can ask yourselves, and you fall into despair, and you say, can we ever expect to be Zoyche to Gula for redemption? We who are in Golus on the lowest Madrege. Rav Tzaddik says, Mitzrayim gives you the chizik. Mitzrayim destroys this kind of thinking. He says, our hearts should not dissolve. Because of the Mashiach. We are now on the heels of Mashiach. And as the generations go on, the generations, as we know, get weaker and weaker. So if the generations get weaker, so when's Mashiach going to come? If Mashiach didn't come in the greater generations, in the better generations, so Mashiach is going to come now at the lowest generation. Don't ask that question. Don't, he said, despair. He says, why? He says, because all of the greatness and the birth and the creation of Am Yisrael, where did it take place? Not in Eretz Yisrael. It davke took place mitoch Mitzrayim, mitoch Hagolus, from the lowest madregas. It came out. They emerged. V'daike begolus davke in golus higiu l'chol hakedushas ki kein rotzen Hashem Yisbarach. Now look at the next few lines. Amazing, amazing words. V'shomati b'shem Rav Hakodesh mipreshischa. I heard from the name of Rebbe Rabbinu of Pshischa. Rebbe Rabbinu of Pshischa was the Rebbe of the Kotzke Rebbe. That's where Kotz came from. Kotz came from Pshischa. So he said, I heard b'shem Rav Hakodesh mipreshischa. Listen to this word. That even though the Nishamas are on lower Madrega every generation, we always speak about that every Yid has what's called the Pintel Yid. Pintel Yid. Every Yid has a Pintel Yid. But Rabbi Binim said, that Pintel Yid is greater today than it ever was. The Nishamas themselves may be smaller, but go deeper, deeper, deeper. HaKadosh Baruch Hu adds to the pint of that dot that we should never get lost. So we have deep down, we can have more Kedusha, or the Kud of Kedusha, than even in earlier generations, and much greater generations. The Neshamas themselves may be smaller, lesser, weaker spiritually, but there's a dot, the Shayrish, a root, deep down. There is there in the Kuda of Kedusha, which becomes purified more and more and more. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees to it. So no matter how smaller the Neshamas and weaker the generations get, but if you go dig deep, you dig deep into the Neshama of Yid, deeper and deeper, you'll find that it's even more Choshev. So I want to show you something, Rabbi Yisai. Look at the next number three. This is so fundamental. This is another Ripsodic, four lines in a Sefer called Poikid Akorim. And Rav Tzaddik, listen to the words of Rav Tzaddik there. V'chein kobalti, I have this bekabola, says Rav Tzaddik. The afal pisha adoyro is holchen mumskatnim. The even though any generation, every generation keeps going, getting smaller and smaller. Ha nekudah shebelev, but the inner nekudah, the nekudah shebelev, hoy leches umizdacheches, continues to be purified, umeiro, and it illuminates yoyser b'chol doyr, Ade's case till the time of the gula, she yezoichechu legamre, until it become pure more and more. So the pintel yid of a yid is now becoming even purer and purer than ever before. So I just want to leave you with the words of Rabbi Yeruchim. Yeruchim is talking to Bochrim. He's talking about his tekufa, prior World War II. The age of the Olam HaYeshiva is the yeshiva world. Yeruchim was talking about living in a time, we have so many different challenges. And someone makes up his mind and he says, you know what? I'm going to reject all the competing sciences and I'm going to devote myself to Torah, to learning. So says Rabbi Yeruchim, you have to see these words. And this is in the middle of an essay. It's in Parashat Shlach in Sefer Das Torah. Look what he says. Ben yeshiva kayoim. Today, dafkin our generation. In other words, remember, he's giving, you'll see what he talks about a ben yeshiva today. A ben yeshiva today is more than a ben yeshiva 500 years ago. And ben yeshiva today, look what he said, but the lotion, it's unbelievable lotion. Ben yeshiva kayoim, hamisyageya hetev, who puts in the effort, strong effort, al toirosim shalak doilu, who is learning the Torah of the previous generations, ashim edoira shalafnim lefnai, right? And previous, early generations. And let's say he's unsuccessful. He tries to understand, and he still doesn't understand. So now he's fallen. He becomes fallen by himself. He falls. And he despairs. Vimkol yigiyose, with all of the effort, vadayin eni oimed al dvarav chaloysa agodl. Says Rabbi Yeruchim, avol sof kol sof, yitochin vihinehu yoyser godl mnoysa godl atzmoy. In other words, I'm working on the Torah of a godl, and I'm not zoche to understand that godl. So usually if I don't understand him, he's greater than me. Says Rabbi Yeruchim, no, you can be greater than him, even though you don't understand his Torah. Why? Why are you greater than him? You're working on his Torah of early generations, and your mind is not able to grasp it, and yet you're greater? He says, I'll tell you why. The MSK ain't sofik b'zeh. He's so positive about it. Elishi efshil adabar al zekol kach, he says. I don't want to talk about it too much. Why? Because then everybody will become a bulgaivi, become very arrogant, if I'm going to say you're so great, he says. I can't talk about it, he says. Kianavor mo'elu alulim o'elu ishav izbalagaivi. But look what he says. Ulam, halay vadei kein hu adover. Bechoyshech noira kozeh. When you're living in a time, netkufe, where there's so much darkness outside in the world. He says, we have no asoge. He says, we cannot have an idea. Rabbi Yeruchim says, a yid in our generation, even a krechts of a yid, a groan for kvod shemayim, you have no idea how choshev it is in shemayim. Because due to the generation that we are so overwhelmed with all the challenges, with all of the tumas surrounding us, the atmosphere. If we are still able to give even a groan for Kvod Shemayim, you have no idea how far reaching is in Shemayim. Kayoim, he says, look at the Loshim. Kayoim hine ben yeshiva, vada yitochen, kem gedoylem yoyserem elu agdoylem asher medor shelifnim. It's an amazing thing. Why? Because a person's godliness is not measured to the quantity of your actions. Maybe we do much, much less. Not maybe. We definitely do. Can't compare ourselves. But the little that we do has so much chashivus in Shemayim. And again, everybody say, give me another minute. I want to show you number five. Because Rabbi Yeruchim would have been so happy if he would have seen that, in fact, these exact words which Rabbi Yeruchim said hundreds of years later were said by the Arizal to his Talmud, Rabbi Chaim Vital. Look at number five. Masha Omar Arizal Rabbi Chaim Vital. It's in Sefer Shivchei Rabbi Chaim Vital. Pamacha Shualti Lemay Rizal. Listen, Rabbi Chaim Vital says. Chaim the Talmud of the Arizal. I once asked my Rebbe, Eichoy Oimeli, how did you, Rebbe, you once told me, Arizal said to Rabbi Chaim, his neshama is very choshev. So Rabbi Chaim said, I asked Arizal, how can you say to me, Shenafshi Himala Kol Kach, Kenizkir Bishar HaGalgulim? By the way, in the Sefer Shar HaGalgulim, it's mentioned that Rabbi Chaim Vital's neshama is so great. The smallest in the early generations were greater than the Gedolim of our generation, he says. I don't reach the heels of the tzaddikim of yesteryear. So how can you say to me, he's asking the Arizal, how can you say to me that my neshama is so great? And the Arizal says, da, I want you to know. Here it is. The greatness of the neshama is not according to how much you accomplished, how much you achieved. Rakifi azman, it's evaluated in the times you're living. Doing even something very little in this generation, it outweighs many mitzvahs, or it's equal to many, many mitzvahs in earlier generations. Because the forces of Tumah are so, so strong, adding kates, without an end. They didn't have that. What he says, if I would have been, you take me and put me in the earlier generations, or your maysai v'chochmosi nefloi mikamet tzadikim reshoinim, would have outdid them. Asher alkein shlo yitztair al zeklal, I should not have tzar, that you feel that you are not accomplishing so much. Ki b'li sofik, yesh lenafshi mayle gedoyle, al kamo tzadikim reshoinim mizman tenoim v'amroim. It's hafla b'fela. But if you take a look, you see Rabbi Yeruchim said the same thing. He said the same thing. He said, a ben yeshiva with misyageya, someone who is able to ignore the outward influence of the world and still is able to take the time and to study Torah and to do the Rotzon Hashem, every little bit that he does today can outweigh many, many times even godless of earlier generations, gives us a little bit of chizik. And certainly Rav Tzadik said that dafke generations such as ours can have this chus of being zoichet at gula shleima, yerotzen, that we should dafke be zoichet.